Good morning. I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. Blessing to be here. You're ready to hear what God already spoke to us on. Just the hunger and thirsting. So blessed are you that hunger and thirst after righteousness. It says, and you shall be filled. If you have a hunger, God will come and meet you. And Abner, it's good to see you again as well. When I seen you this morning, my mind went back probably 15 years or 17 years ago when I walked into Steve Miller's basement and you were preaching down there that night. You remember what message you would have preached? Well, I'll just put it this way. My bones was very dry when I walked in there that night. You preached a message out of Ezekiel 37. The Valley of Dry Bones. And I don't think I was born again at that time. But I went because I heard that there's... I mean, I know God was stirring in my heart. And God was doing... Okay, but the Lord was stirring in my heart at that time, and as I went there, and Abner opened up the meeting by preaching, by reading Ezekiel 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me. This was Ezekiel speaking, but I just take this as Abner speaking here. The hand of the Lord was upon me, and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord. And he set Abner down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by around about them. Behold, there were many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And he said unto me, Prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these dry bones, Behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I'll bring flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live. You shall know that I am the Lord. Then Ezekiel says, So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied there with a noise, and behold, a shaking. And the bones came together, bone to bone. When I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, Prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man. Say unto the wind, Thus saith the Lord God, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon me the slain, and they may live. It goes on. But I remember that evening sitting there, and it took me a while to understand, because I wasn't fully surrendered. I don't know if I was born again. Actually, it took me a day or so to figure out what this message was speaking about. But as I look back now, what a blessing. There was a bunch of bones that was in a valley. We were dead. And I look across here today and I see flesh. I see life. I see the breath of God in you. So praise God that these bones came together and started. There was a rattle and there was a shaking and there was life. There came life. And it's a blessing. 15, 17 years later. So praise God for that. But my message today that I want to speak on, I want to preach on here today, it comes from Hebrews 12, running the race. I just want to take a few points. There have been many points that I could have shared on today that would, you know, just encouragement today to endure and to continue on running. These bones came together and life formed. But through these 15 years, do we know of anyone that actually that started, the bones came together, flesh came on, and maybe the flesh fell back off? There's a few that I know from 15 to 17 years ago. It seemed like that happened. So my encouragement today, I just want to use a few points throughout the scriptures, is to run the race. Run with all of our heart, soul, mind, strength. As Steve shared there, you know, endure. Press on. So before I begin here, I want to have a word of prayer, and I don't have a real long message. It's just an elementary message I have for us today, just to encourage us. We have a few short years left. And I was thinking, my dad, he's 80 years old, and he's in the hospital, and as I was talking to him the last few weeks, he doesn't know where his 80 years went. But after 80 years, he still doesn't want to die. He doesn't want to die. He is fighting to live. And as I shared with him last night in the hospital bed, Dad, I said, you know, the only way reconciled back to God that we're going to need to die. And I said, and I know you're 80. The Bible says that a good life is 70 and some live to be 80. And I said, you made it to 80. I think Abner's 82, right? Time went fast, right? Time goes fast. But the most important thing is that we run the race well. And Dad would admit he didn't do everything right. But God has stirred in his heart the last few years. I praise God for that. We go up there the other night. He wasn't feeling real well. And I just walked in the room. And he says, Mark, he said, come here and pray for me. So that was a blessing. I was able to go and sit down and hold his hand. He squeezed my hand. And we prayed. Then we sing. And he said, sing another one. We sung another song. He said, got some more? He loves singing. So God is, there's no doubt that God has done a work in my dad's heart. Seemed like he just maybe got on the band, got in on the 11th or 12th hour. But the important thing is that it's all it is. It don't matter how old we are, that we're ready to meet the Lord Jesus when we die. We run the race. So my encouragement here is today, most of us in here have begun the race. There might be a few in here that have not begun this race, I understand. And if you have it, you're missing out. Get in. We need to get born again, we know. But running the race is going to be my message here today. So let's pray, and I'll just share a few thoughts that I have just for encouragement. Eternal Father, as I do come here, bow here before you. Today, Lord, I thank you for the presence of you today, Lord, in here. I thank you, Lord, for taking these dry bones that every one of us were here just 15 years ago, Lord. Most of us here 15 years ago were in a valley of dry bones. There was no flesh on them. There was no life. There was no breath. We were dead. But thank you, God, for meeting with us and breathing and giving us life. So we just trust, Father, that you would just help us, Lord, to endure until the end. We know that just running a beginning, getting born again is just the beginning. We have a life to live. We have a life to finish, and that is enduring until we take our last breath. So today, Lord, we just ask you to just give me courage, give me boldness, give me wisdom, give me just words from you, Lord. Not my own thinking, not my own agenda, but God, it would be the words of life that I could just encourage a few here, Lord. So I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, as I shared, it's a very elementary message. So let's just turn to Hebrews 12, and I want to read the first 11 or 15 verses there. From there, and I'll go on from there. And like I said, there would be many, many points or many different things I could have shared, but I just picked out a handful of them here today just to bless you. Okay, Hebrews 12, chapter 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in the minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as my children. My sons, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and he scourgeth every man whom he receiveth. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us with their own pleasure, but he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it be rather be healed. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. So that's the text there of my message today, Run the Race. And as I share, I'm gonna come back through here and speak on a few of these verses as I go through. But as I shared before, but before we can begin to run this race that I'm talking about, that we must be born again, as it says there in John. Unless you're born again, you will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I just want to share that before I go. We know that. We're all familiar with that. This race cannot be run unless you start up upon the foundation of Christ, repenting of your sins and calling upon him and following him in word and deed. You know, if this race is not done, what I've talked about, it's like last Saturday. You know, we had some relay races. It's like the brothers that were racing were giving all they had, and we were standing on the side just watching. If you have not entered into the race, I mean, if you have not been born again, it's just like standing on the sideline last week and watching some brothers run relay races. You're not in the race. So if I encourage you, as Brother James shared a few Sundays ago, if you have not, I just want to share this before I start. Stretch forth thy hand that you may be healed. That you may be. Ask God to come and to take that stony heart from you and give you a new heart. And we know that there's many challenges in this race that we're running, but it's worth it. As it says, wherefore seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. And that is looking into Jesus, it says, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us. It's a joy to enter this race. And we know that there's struggles and there's times that we get weary, but just look into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So that's where we need to start at, right there. So okay, so one point here I want to share in as we run this race, and we take this passage from Matthew 7, enter ye in at the straight gate, and why I share that, I touched on that a little bit. It says, enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is a gate, and broad is a way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go thereat. Because straight is a gate, and narrow is a way which leadeth to life, a few there be that find it. A few there that find it. It's a straight and narrow way. And as many get born again, you know, as bones that started rattling, that started shaking, that talked about there from Ezekiel, many of them came together. But if we don't enter in the narrow way, enter at the straight gate, you know, ever so little of decisions we make that go against the scriptures, contrary to the word of God, if they're so small, it might take years for us to veer off. You know, the path is straight, and there's a right and there's a left, it seems like. And little decisions we make in our life, it's important so we don't end up out here at the end of our life, that we would walk the internet a straight gate. And I write here, the race must be conditioned of Jesus Christ under His terms, not under ours. That's where the failure of many men. Many men get born again, and they come up with their own theologies, their own way of thinking. There's a narrow way. You know, I look at Saul there in Acts 9, when Jesus met him there, which later on his name's Paul, you know. But when the Lord knocked him off his horse, and he's laying on the floor, and Jesus came about in a bright, shining light, and Saul said, "Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do?" We see there as a person said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord told him what to do. And we know that Paul wasn't without struggles and challenges, but he went on to finish the race well because he was open to the Lord. He said, "God, or Jesus, what will you have me to do?" And so, and that's where we need to find ourselves at, Lord, at times. You know, even in this race that we're on, there's times that we end up in discouragement. There's times that we end up where we can't believe we got there, but it's like, "Lord, help me. We need to go back there." But there are many that think that they are running and entering the straight gate, but are walking the broad way. Why? And I think I touched on that already a little bit. They never came to the point as Saul did and said, "Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do?" But they have their own ways and their own interpretations of the Scripture. I believe to reading the Scripture, to stay in that narrow way, entering at the straight gate. As we read, we need to ask the Lord to interpret the Word of God. We need to ask the Lord to intervene, to show us. Because I already done this. Sit down with a man and read the same passage of the Scripture, and he got the total different took it a totally different way than I did. Even what we believe in here, I'd done that. So as we read the Scriptures, to stay in the narrow way, as we run this race, may we ask God to interpret the Word of God to us. So brothers and sisters, to enter in at that straight gate, we must surrender our will to God. And this verse, you know, as Saul there, you know, he said, "Lord, Lord, what would you have me to do?" What happened if Saul would have, he would got up and says, or he wouldn't have said that. He got up and went his own way. It had been a totally different outcome there. Or the three men in the furnace, as Merv talked about that this morning. What happened if they wouldn't have knew who God was? Now, I mean, being thrown in a furnace was going to be a horrible thing. What happened if they would have just said, "Oh, this is not going to be worth it"? But they knew who God was. It says, Moses there, it says, "By faith, Moses, when he was come to years, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." I think Steve read that. But anyway, think of Moses here. I mean, he could have been the king. He could have been sitting on a throne and everything would have been delivered to him at his feet. Anything that he wanted, he could have had. But he had a greater vision. He had a greater plan. He knew who God was. He met with God. It says, "Choosing rather to suffer the affliction, rather with the people of God, than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season." And Paul, later on in life, you know, he could have given up. He was sitting in prison. And for years, he spent most of his life in prison with the rats and all that. But yet, Paul met with God on that day when he said, "Lord, Lord, what would thou have me to do?" And the Lord showed him, and he went forth. It's a narrow way. But just encouraging, these men here that I'm reading about, they entered into the narrow way, and they endured until the end. As we see here, Paul, he says that at the last of his life, he says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have kept my course." Paul ran that course with all of his heart. He ran the straight course. He did not waver. When prison time came, when they beat him, when he was going to spend years, he didn't waver. He says, "God is my God, and I will serve him for all the days of my life." He said, "I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me on that day. And not only to me only, but all to those that love his appearing." That's a beautiful scripture as I read that. As Paul started out as Saul, being making havoc for the Christians, and God met with him on the road to Damascus, and there he was, being faithful until the end. And that was some of his last words that he wrote there. The straight gate is not for the way for the flesh. And we know that. The flesh loves, because the flesh loves the things that are easy when things are going wrong. But the Lord will allow hardships, trials, tribulations to draw us closer to Him. As it says there in Hebrews there, as I read that, I'm just going to read a few of those. He says, "For consider him that endureth such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in minds. If we strive not, ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as my children. My sons, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he will chasten, and he scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteth not? But if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastards and not sons. Furthermore, we have been fathers of our flesh, which corrected us." It says, "Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, which corrected us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather in the subjection to the Father of the spirits alive and live? For they verily for a few days chasten us with their own pleasure, but he for our profit." God chastens us for our profit to run this race, the narrow way. So the one is the remain on that narrow way. And the narrow way is not the way of our flesh. It is denying our flesh and picking up the cross and following after him. We know that. But my encouragement, let's not let the flesh derail us from the narrow way. The next one here I want to speak on. And this in here, I wrote down, it is faith. And I could have wrote many other ones with faith. I could have wrote works and obedience. And yes, them are important too. But I chose faith because in Hebrews 11 it says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." And we know that the chapter 11 there is a faith chapter. It's impossible to serve him. In Romans it says, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. Whatever is not of faith is a sin. In Philippians 1 it says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which shall begin a good work in us, he will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So I'm talking about the work that he had begun in us. And I believe it's very important as we run this race, that trusting that the Lord, if we stretch forth our hand, he will meet us there. If we stretch forth our hand, God will hear us. I'm talking about as we're running this race. I'm not talking about someone that's full of sin, someone that's not willing to turn from his ways and reach out his hand, and under his terms, God won't meet us. But as Christians, as we're running this race, I believe it's very important that we understand that God is for us. He's not against us. As I remember being a little, growing up as a child, and hearing preachers talk about these hellfire sermons and on and on, I thought, oh my, there's no way I'll ever get close to this God. He is a righteous God with a stick. And I was actually scared of this God when I was growing up. You know, sort of scared of him. But today we have a God that is for us. We have a God that he created us for his purpose. He created us for his glory. And he wants us to worship him That's why he created us, mankind, that we can worship him in truth and in spirit. We need to learn, do we know who the Lord is? Do we know who God is? Do we know that he's a loving and he is forgiving? If we ask, he gives. You know, just talking about my dad, you know, as a little boy, I trusted my dad. I didn't know anything of God. But as long as I had a hold of my dad's hand, when we went out to get the cows, we always had a mad bull, it seems like. Just always hollering that bull was, and always just on dad's heels. But as long as I had a hold of dad's hand, I felt fine. Dad wasn't scared of that bull. I didn't think so, unless his heart was pumping, but I just thought, well, dad has confidence. That bull was not going to hurt him. And today it's the same way with God. If we have do we understand that? If we have a hold of God's hand, walk in this life, He will take care of us. He wants to take care of us. He doesn't. It's not the will of God that any would perish, but all come to repentance. As we are running through this race, there's needs to be a great measure of faith or trusting in the Lord Jesus. Can you imagine walking in this life and not being sure when we repent that God hears us? Been there early in my Christian life. It's a miserable life. There wouldn't be that true peace in our hearts. But here in 1 John 5, it says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he heareth us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him." And it says, as John is writing this, that we have the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. As children of God, that is a confidence that we can have. As we walk, yes, we know that he will hear us, but does he always give what we ask for? No, he don't. He knows what's best for us. But just to have that confidence that he heareth us when we ask, whatever we ask of him. In Romans 1:17 it says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." Galatians 3:11, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith. There again, the just shall live by faith. And then Hebrews 10:38 and 39, it says, "Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him." And that comes from, I think, from Isaiah there. Then 39 says, "But we are not of them who draw back into perditions, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul." And that's why I'm talking about. It's just important that we have a measure of faith here, to the saving of the soul. It says, "If any man draw back, my soul," this is God, "my soul shall have no pleasure in them," in him. "The faith is the substance of things hoped for the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." And we know that was from chapter 11. And the chapter 11 there is a faith chapter. It talks about by faith Abraham, when he was tried, he offered up Isaac. And Steve shared on that, you know. He trusted fully in the Lord. When God told him to take up Isaac, I'm sure in his heart it smote him, because they prayed for a son for many years. But when God told him, offer up your son. And I don't see Abraham saying, "Are you sure, God?" He says the next day he saddled up a horse and he went. "By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come." And he goes on and on. I ain't going to read all that. But anyway, it's just a blessing as you read through chapter 11. And for some of us here, let's say we would agree to take a race. And we would line up and take off. Let's just say I pick three or four young men here, or old men, whatever. Take them out here in Thimble Road, and I'd tell them, okay, you're going to take a race. And I'd tell them, just mark, set, go. And I wouldn't tell them where the finish line would be. That'd be a difficult race. But we don't have to race like that in this life. We have a finish line that's there. We can see. We have a finish line that's been paved. That's been set for us. Let's finish well. Let's race. Let's run this race with confidence. And let's run with our heart turned toward God. Can we really trust God with our lives? Do we really trust that God is leading us? Can we give our lives to God? Allow Him to lead us. It's now a better place to be when we surrender our life to God and say, God, I am yours. Have I always done that? I have not. But I want to be there more. I do. I always want to be there. Be at a place where lay myself down at the altar and say, God, where you want to take me, I'll go. Whatever you want me to say, I'll say. And whatever you want me to do, I'll do. It's a good place to be. Can we do that? Are we there in our life? In Philippians 1, it says, being confident of this very thing, that which He had begun a good work in us, He will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that is if we are walking in the Word of God. So there, just a little bit on that. It's important that we trust and walk in the ways of God. That we can trust that He will heareth us. He that began a good work in us will also perform it if we remain faithful. God is faithful. In my next point here, I wrote here, and this comes from Acts 17. Be Bereans and search out the Word of God. And I feel that is very important in a Christian life, to know the Word of God. Just not being informed or just not being told the Word, but we would know the Word. Yes, it's a blessing to come up, have someone come up here and share and soak it in. But there are so many people that are hearing men preach their own philosophy and not searching out the Word of God, and are going astray. As it says there in Acts 17, the at Berea there, it says that, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. They were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness in mind. And it says, and they searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So that is important, that we search the scriptures daily, that we know what the Word of God says. many different theologies. I was just one here, as I was seeing two men sitting outside on a little, they're sitting on a little wall. Both of them had cigarettes in their hands, and I said, oh my. Both of them are Spanish. It seemed like Spanish people, they're easy to talk to, and I when I see them, it seems like they never have much opposition as white the Americans, it seems like. So I just walked up to them, and I said, my, you guys must be in a hurry to meet Jesus. So they both had cigarettes and smoke rolling. They said, well, what do you mean by that? I said, well, I'm going to kill you if you keep smoking. And one says, oh, no, he said, I'm an atheist. So who told you that there's such thing as an atheist? I said, you know, I don't believe in anything of an atheist. And I said, I walked right up to him and I said, there's no atheist. There's no such thing as atheist. And he goes, well, you're right. There's something out there a little higher. And I said, it's God. I said, you've been lied to that there's no God. And it's amazing that they try these things to appeal their conscience, that there's no God. Being lied to. And if you just search out the Word of God and or ask God, because he said he used to be a Catholic, okay? So he did hear the word, he did hear the Bible being read, and I'm not sure what all being taught there in the Catholic Church, but he did know that his mom went to church, and mom often talked about God. But he chose the way of deception, not searching it out for himself. He chose just to believe something that he can appeal his conscience and live the life that he wants to live, and not be convicted. And so we need to be good Bereans and search out the Word of God. Even in the church here, we need to read, know what the Scripture says. They're being deceived, like divorce. They're justifying divorce and homosexuality. And these are coming from people. These are coming from the churches. The churches have a greater rate of divorce, it seems like, than the world. And you hear the churches justify things. Well, my pastor said this. My pastor said that. Well, I said, well, what does the Word of God say? Well, my pastor said this. I said, I told our neighbor there a while back, and he said, well, my pastor, he explained it like this. Adultery is like when, if you're in a marriage and you step outside before you have the final divorce. I said, no, I don't see that. I said, you just take the Word of God. I was going to give him some scriptures, and I could not get a hold of him again. He wouldn't come over. But but we need to be good Bereans and search out the Word of God. As it says here, as we run this race, let's not allow Satan to derail us. It says there in here in Corinthians 4, it says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, and handling the Word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, committing ourselves to every man conscious in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to those that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine into them. For we preach not ourselves, but Jesus Christ the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus Christ. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of our knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So, encouragement here as we run in this race. It says, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, and He did. The light has shined out of the darkness. So I see this church here, these brothers, to give the light of knowledge of the glory to God, to those that are in darkness. Let's run well. And as we're running, we're gathering brothers and sisters along to run this race. It's also very important that we, as we run this race, that we continue to search out the Word of God and also stay in a body of believers. When there's an error in our life, it's a blessing in the body. And I want to encourage brothers here to one another. If we see a brother erring, If you just take me. If you see me erring, I encourage any one of you to speak in my life. I don't want to be deterred. I don't want to be off my course at the end of my life. So I encourage any one of you as we're running this race. If anybody sees anything in my life, I give you the free will to share my life. So it's important that we stay in a body where we have one another to help as we run through this life. We're able to help point out, because if we're alone, we don't have anybody there to tell us, to show us, other than the Word of God. But importantly, if we're alone, we're possibly not reading the Word of God. Are we open to that if a few brothers come and share with us that they have some concerns about us? Question you ponder your heart. What would you happen if a brother would come this afternoon and say, brother, I have some concerns. I see some errors in your life. As David here, before God here, and I think it's Psalms 139, where David says, O Lord, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. Is our heart conditioned in that way? We have a heart that's willing to be spoke to. We have a heart that is willing to be chastised or chastened. Are we? If our heart and if our mind is fixed on Jesus, we won't be offended if a brother comes and say, hey, brother, I see something in your life. And take him to the Word of God and show him. If we read in the Word of God, it makes it a lot easier. So as David said, search me, O God. And I think it was Zacchaeus there, the tax collector, when he met just a few of them that just blessed me as I read through there. In Luke 19, he told the Lord, if there's anything I've done, he said, I will restore it 100-fold. 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. If I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And that's what the heart I'm talking about. Just have a heart that is willing to repent, a heart that is willing to admit our faults when we're reading and we see the Word of God. It's the heart that's conditioned after Him. The next one, I have several of them here. I doubt if I'll get to all of them, but the next one here is that having the right fear of God in our lives. In Proverbs 9, I think it's Proverbs 9 here, just as a... Proverbs 9, verses 10, 11. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of the life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou be scornest, thou shalt bear it. So the verse here, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of all wisdom. I'm talking about if we sin, what is our response? What for fear do we have when we're walking? And say as Christians, let's say that we do sin. What is our response? Is it like, oh my, I can't believe I ended up there. How did I do that? And just get hard on yourself? Or do we fall on our knees and cry out? Do we have that fear when we sin? When we do something that's not good in the sight of God's eyes? Do we get on our knees and say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I am sorry. That's the fear of God we need to have in our hearts. That with fear of unrighteousness, fear of things that will defile us. Do we have a fear when we walk... I just want to say, when we walk into a big grocery store, and you know what it is, like all these checkout lanes, and you see all these magazines, do we fear God enough where we keep our head straight walking, or are we going down through there and looking? Do we have a fear of God in that way? We need that right fear of God if we're going to run this race. Because Satan has so many things to derail us. He wants to make us stumble. He has so many things for us to stumble upon and to fall. But greater is He that is in us. He wants us in a greater way than Satan. And we have everything that we possibly need here if we're willing to seek God. And I know I'm talking to a bunch of believers here, but my encouragement is that we would continue on checking our lives. Where are we at on that, on the fear of God? Do we cry out for forgiveness? We need to have that fear that the wrath and the judgment, what God will do to the wicked. If you're in here and you have sin in your life today, you don't have the fear of God. I'll just say that. If you're in here and you have sinned this morning, I don't know if you have the fear of God. Because I know that as I read through the scriptures here, when David, when he found out what he did there with Bathsheba, he fell on his face and cried out to God. So I say that. Now, a sin is when you're walking obedient or disobedient to God. And you know it, and you continue walking in there, and you're in here this morning, and you have sin. You don't have the fear of God. The fear of God is when we sin, we fall on our face and cry out to God for forgiveness. And the fear of God comes by us, by knowing. How do we get the fear of God? How do we learn? As we're running this race, how do we know to have the right fear of God? That is knowing our Jesus Christ in a very personal way. Learning of Him, knowing what the will of God is for us, reverence Him, worshiping Him in truth and spirit. And it's like when we learn of somebody, when we know somebody, we respect him. I mean, like my just say I walked my wife for 28 years. I love my wife. I respect her. I know her. I know her from inside out. And that's my heart is to please her. My heart is to do the things that she wants to do. And that's the way God is. He wants us to know Him inside out. And if we do, that's where the fear of God comes. We will not do anything outside of the will of God. In Psalms 101, here a few verses. Here's David. He said, "I will sing of mercy and judgment unto thee, O Lord, will I sing. I will behave myself wisely in a perfect way." Look, listen to the fear of God that David had here. "Oh, when wilt thou come unto me? I will walk within my house with a perfect heart, God. I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. I hate the works of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." He said, "I will stay away from the wickedness. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. Him that hath a high look and a proud heart will not I suffer. My eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. He that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He telleth, lies shall not tarry in my sight. I will early destroy all the wicked of the land. I may cut off the wicked doers from the city of the Lord." You think of David's heart here. He wanted to abstain from any appearance of evil. Anything that had appearance of evil, anything that was in his house of evil, he said, "Lord, I would not let it dwell there." And that is our hearts. Are we allowing the wickedness? Are we allowing deceit? Are we allowing bitterness? Are we allowing hate or whatever it may be inside our house? David said, I'll destroy that. And I trust that as we're running this race, we cannot have that. We'll be as Christians running in the Pilgrim's Progress there with that big old burden on us. He couldn't run. Then Hebrews, I'm just going to read this in here again. 12:1. Yeah, wherefore, seeing we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doeth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. To run this race, we need to be free. And why I'm saying that, because there is times in my life where I picked up some baggage and I had to deal with. If I want to dealt with it today, I wouldn't be running. Probably won't be running this race. Okay, the next one. Next point. I don't have too many more points here. I'm going to let some out. But the next one is overcomers. You say overcomers. I know we need to overcome to become a Christian. But I mean overcoming things that we face once we become Christians. In John 16, the words of Jesus here. Just read a few verses here from 25 on. He says, "These things have I spoken unto you in Proverbs, but the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At the day ye shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. For the Father himself loveth you, because you have loved me and have believed that I come out from God. I come from forth from the Father, and I come into this world. Again, I leave this world and go to the Father." His disciples said unto him, "Lo, now speakest thou plainly, and speakest no proverb." They didn't understand. "But are we sure that thou knowest all things, and needest not that any man shall ask thee? But this we believe, that thou camest forth from God." And Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour cometh now, yeah, it is now come. You shall be scattered, Every man to his own shall leave me alone, and yet I am not alone because the Father is with me. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation. But he goes on and says to them, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And that is encouragement. We can overcome anything that Satan puts in our path. As Jesus says, be of good cheer. He said in another place, as I overcome, so shall you. And we can. Anything that comes in this life, as Christians walk in this race, there is victory over all sin. No matter what we come up against, there's victory. Why? It's because Christ paved the way. He came and offered himself. He became sin, who knew no sin, and died so that we could live. And he made it possible for every man to overcome, even in the Christian life. If we stumble, if we sin, go back to the cross and ask for repentance. We don't want to be laying in the gutter or the trench. And I know some people that I don't know where they're at. Seemed like they were walking with God, you know, years ago. I know a certain person. And it seemed like today he's in the gutter, in the trench, full of bitterness, hate, or just in agony. And just many things going on. It's amazing. We can overcome. But we can be victorious in all things as we run this race. And there might be some roadblocks, logs laying across the road, but we can go over them, under them, around them, whatever it may be. It's up to us what we do. Some just lay down. But my encouragement is that we jump over the roadblocks and go on, keeping our face toward God. Beloved, it says, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, in John here. Because many false prophets are going out in this world. Hereby know we the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and now even already in this world. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. We have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in us than the one that's in this world. Greater is he that's in us. Who's in us? It's Jesus. It's the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit. There are the world. Therefore, speak they of this world, and the world heareth them. The world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the Spirit of God and the Spirit of error. So back to verse 4 again. Ye are of God, little children. We are of God. And have overcome them, because greater is he that is in us than the one that's in this world. Jesus has paved the road for us. That's the right. Hallelujah. Okay, I have a few other ones, but I'm just going to make this last point here. And this one right here covers pretty much the whole, several other ones than what I spoke on. But I wrote here, we need to be filled with the love of God, so that we can love one another. And I know as we walk in this life, Satan has ways trying to have us ill feeling toward a brother. As it says in Hebrews, let brotherly love continue. How is that possible? That will not happen. We cannot have brotherly love in here if we don't have the right love of God in our hearts. It will not work. Brotherly love continue, and that brotherly love, for that to happen, we must allow the love of God. We must know who God is. In Matthew 22, I'm going to read a few verses there. It says that Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and a great commandment. So if we're going to finish this race well, without the love of God, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all of mind, we're going to struggle to finish the race, if we even do finish. He said, this is the first and a great commandment. And the second is likened to that thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And those two commandments hang on all the law and all the prophets. Love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind. It's the first and greatest commandment. God is big. God is love. I read a story, I think it was, I'm not sure where I read that at. It's talking about God is so big. He was telling his children that God is so big that he spans the universe with his hand. And the boy said, "My God must be big." And yeah, and they went on talking and said, "Yes, and God also, he must be in our hearts when you grow up. You need to have God in your heart." And this little boy said, "My." He said, "That means God will be sticking out all over from you if God's in our heart." And it should be. People should look at you and they should be able to see God all over in your workplace, in your home, in church, or wherever you may be. People should look at you, as they told Peter, which two were that? They said, "We can see that they've been with Jesus." Can people see us? Can they look at us? Can they see the love of God coming from us? Can they see that compassion for one another? To run this race, we need to have that love of God in us so we can pass that love on. Where we can love our brothers in the right way, correct way. Where we can let brotherly love continue. And this race I'm talking about today is a little different from what we had last Saturday. Last Saturday, as I was sitting there after I ran, I was sitting on the sidelines, and I seen a few brothers just gone. I seen a few brothers come to this fence, and they did not clear the fence, and they stumbled, and their shoe went flying off, and they went rolling. And the other brother on the other side, he kept right on going. This race I'm talking about is not that kind of race. This race is, when we see that happen, we go over there and help the brother up. Help him put his shoe back on and walk forth to the finish line together. May God help us to have that right love in our hearts where we can help a brother that falls. If we don't have that right love in the heart, when a brother falls, we won't have compassion. We won't have that what it takes for help to get that brother up. We race, we help him up, and we race on together, our journey toward the kingdom of God. Okay, I'm going to close with a few verses here. James 5:19, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth a sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins." John 3, "For this is a message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was a wicked one, and slew his brother, and wherefore slew him because his own works were evil, and his brother righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death into life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay our lives down for the brother. But whosoever hath the world's goods, and seeth his brother have a need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him?" We see a brother fall, stumble, and sin, and we walk on, not helping. Is the love of God in us? In 1 John 4, a few verses here. "Beloved," it says, "God is love. Let us love one another, for God is love. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into this world that you might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. So as we're running this race, if we're lacking love for one another, for someone, not even a brother in here, if someone outside here, that someone wronged us, if we're lacking love, we're going to be stumbling down this finish line. Because God is love. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. May we finish well. May we keep our eyes on the finish line. I don't know. I asked Matt to play a song here. I don't know if you can or not. But if you can, be a blessing. May God bless you all.
When times are tough and the days are long, you've had enough of things gone wrong. Let your faith arise, put your fears behind, and keep your eyes on the finish line. The finish line, it's always ahead. Don't look behind, move on instead. Climb higher on the ladder of life, and keep your eyes on the finish line. Mistakes you've made are a lesson learned, and every day another bridge is burned. You'll be surprised at what you find if you keep your eyes on the finish line. The finish line, it's always ahead. Don't look behind, on instead. Climb higher on the ladder of life, and keep your eyes on the finish line. When the race is run and this life is o'er, the victory won will be with the Lord. He's the one who cares if you fall behind. He's waiting there at the finish line. The finish line, it's always ahead. Don't look behind, move on instead. Climb higher on the ladder of life, and keep your eyes on the finish line. It's always ahead. Don't look behind, move on instead. Climb higher and keep your eyes on the finish line.